Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Every Friday at 12:30, we sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these folks. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we're talking to photographer Gordon Stettinius. Gordon?
Thank you very much.
Currently, your work, your photographic work, is being represented at the Robin Rice Gallery in New York City. Is that correct?
That is.
Okay. And do you have a show up there now?
I don't. Okay. I had a show last fall there.
Okay. You graduated from UVA with a BA in studio art.
I did.
Which was an interesting thing to graduate from UVA with.
Very prestigious program.
As often happens before these interviews, I'll be talking to someone and they will start telling me a story. And you were telling me a wonderful story before we started about a woman named Gita, because I told you I had a dog named Gita, and you said, you know, funny you should mention that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that for a few minutes, because I thought that was sort of fascinating.
All right. Well, Gita is a woman who I suppose I met about 7 years ago. She is a New York photographer named Gita Lins, and she is a bit of an enigma, actually. She's now later on in age. She's 97, and she no longer has quite the sharpness, the acuity, mental acuity that she would have once had. And so I'm still trying to piece together some of her history. But basically what I found was that she is a peer and a good friend of Aaron Siskind, and who is a notable photographer, 1940s and 50s, out of Chicago and New York. And Gita has work that's pretty much been forgotten, I guess, on the larger sort of photo scene. She was dedicated. She worked for a couple of decades and then more or less set it aside because she was having trouble making a go. Mm-hmm. And so maybe three years ago, I was given the opportunity to go check out her body of work, her archive, if you will, and advise as to what to do, how we could maybe get her, I guess, remembered. And so I went up to New York, and long story short, it's now in my hands, and I've had some interns from VCU help me to catalog it and conserve it, and now I'm kind of in the process of trying to couple a book together and
really
sort of have identified a gallery that we're still in the beginning stages of working, but somebody who, I guess, helped me have her remembered.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
So you just took this on just because you wanted to do it?
I think because somebody should do it, mm-hmm. I guess. It's actually a very close friend of mine, was a neighbor of hers for many years,
okay.
And
right.
He cares about her deeply. She has no family to speak of, and so as much for him, I suppose, as for her, I kind of started this. And then, you know, I've been visiting her regularly, and I'm also very attached to her. You know, but she's not necessarily attached to me. I'm always kind of reintroducing myself each
visit. Because of her memory problems? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I suppose it's a bit of a karmic journey. I mean, it is absolute mess, the work is. Great prints, mind you. I mean, she's
right.
Actually an excellent artist.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, everything is stored all crazily, and a lot of things were just, you know, hardly archival at all, glued to press board or particle board, or just it's a mess. Don't want to be too nerdy about it. The negatives are stored in, like, glassine sleeves, and that's kind of a destructive situation.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I guess I'm hoping that maybe, you know, down the road somebody will give a shit about me,
She'll get discovered.
Yeah, well, yeah. I want to make sure that, you know, she's in the conversation. If someone wants to talk about, you know, photographers in New York or women photographers in 20th century or whatever, now nobody kind of knows what her story is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. That's fascinating. Well, how did you get started? I mean, what started this with you? Why not medical school?
I don't know. I actually had kind of a math bent, I guess you'd say. I sort of assumed I'd be in kind of something in more business line or something more rational, I suppose. But then when I got to school, I started taking my first couple of creative writing courses, my first couple of drawing classes, and I was just enjoying it a hell of a lot more, you know, and getting so-so grades and working my ass off in econ, and then versus, you know, enjoying myself. I mean, it was just kind of, I still hadn't sorted out whether or not I was going for commercial art and or fine art, and I'm still kind of, I guess, straddling that
reality
too.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because at that age, you know, to make that choice, even those people will enjoy making art or whatever, some will just walk away from it because, you know, our culture isn't necessarily terribly supportive. What do you think made you want to continue in that area?
I think it was peers, actually.
Really?
I got out of UVA, and I don't think I was hell-bent on, you know, tackling any kind of artistic goal. Or I just, I guess I was thinking more graphic arts. My first job was a art and design studio doing really kind of old school cut and paste and doing advertising tip sheets and maps and cutting amberliths and, you know, just old school design, pre-computer really.
Right.
And then from there, I got laid off and kind of took a little bit of a part-time job on the road and wound up in California. And then I took some classes at the San Francisco Art Institute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And something about that place, it was... I guess the mean age, I'm going to get this somewhat wrong, but the mean age was somewhere in the neighborhood of 27, 28, something
really?
Like that.
Really?
For the undergrads, it was a lot of the four-year students, but then it's a lot of working artists taking a class just to have access to, you know, certain printmaking studio or certain sort of facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot more seriousness there than at UVA, which felt like I was surrounded by 21-year-olds and
20-year-olds. What was it about photography, do you think, that grabbed you?
It didn't, actually. My undergraduate degree, it was mostly spent doing printmaking and drawing.
Yeah.
And I took a couple of photo courses. And I guess after school, I lost access to the printmaking studio. And so I had a buddy who welcomed me into his photo world and was actually kind of a very solid teacher.
Yeah.
He made me a lot better as well.
You see a connection between printmaking and photographs?
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah.
One is more like direct mark making.
Yeah,
the other
right,
one,
yeah.
I'm a little more of a observer, I guess, with photography. I'm not completely honest, but I tend to let things be and kind of look passive.
What do you mean not completely honest?
Occasionally, I'll sort of manipulate a situation, ask somebody to stop what they're doing, or do something again, or give me a little of this, or you know. But a lot of times, I just rather let life happen.
So, you're walking down the street, and what happens?
When I'm walking down, I don't do a whole lot of street photography.
Really?
I guess that's not true. I usually have sort of targeted something. I like different, alternative cultures. I like, groups when they're sort of transcendent.
Like for instance?
For instance,
Well, let's talk about Zombie Walk.
Zombie Walk's
would that apply?
A pretty fair indicator. That's actually a fairly arts-driven sort of community, I think.
What is that?
It's a couple of the professors over in the foundation. Well, I guess one of them at least is in the art foundations at VCU. And a couple others that are kind of the zombie kingmakers, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They really produce this around Halloween. And it's actually more of a national movement where people get together and they put on the cosmetic makeup and the veneer of death and blood and gore, and they conjure up a bunch of straggling zombies, and they'll go take it to a, in this case, it's usually Carey Street, but they've tried other venues in town, and they just take it into the public and watch how the public responds. It's like performance art.
Right, right.
And I've been photographing that for a few years. And
do you know why?
Do I know why?
Yeah. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, let's say somebody's listening and they know nothing about photography or anything, and they say, really, that's what this guy does? That's weird.
I
don't think it's weird. I think
I enjoy when people are going out of their way to kind of, you know, interact with one another or affect one another. I like when people are a little souped up on ideas, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be a political idea. I like rallies as well, and I like... fringe communities. Last summer, at the end of the summer, I went to Whitetail Park. And
what's that?
It's in Ivor, Virginia. It's a nudist colony.
Oh, did you really?
And I would love to continue with them, actually. I got to sort of, I guess, try to have, you know, they have a guarded sort of take with someone who's coming in with photography.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, ingratiate myself. Yes. Pretty much.
Hi, just ignore the camera, and yes, I'm going to wear my clothes. Is that a problem?
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about this. This is interesting.
Do you know why?
Because of all of the... I'm going to put words in your mouth. Why?
I don't know. I think it's just off the beam. It's just a little bit outside of kind of so-called normality, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It certainly has got its precedence in the photo history books. You know, right. There's lots of people who have done the same thing. I guess I'm answering my own questions, you know, going in with kind of a humanist take. I'm just really I'm interested in people. I'm a little sociopathic. I mean, I don't need a whole lot of people, but I do I do enjoy them by and large.
Right.
You know?
Right. So how do they respond? How do you get into a nudist colony with a camera? How do you manage that?
Well, I basically went and spoke to them a couple of times and found really sympathetic personalities, people who are artists in their own right. Or, I mean, it's actually a incredibly laid-back environment.
Right.
I mean, the people who are sampling it and trying it on are the ones, I think, who are probably the most uncomfortable with somebody wandering in and, you know, capturing that on film. Mm-hmm. And so with somebody's kind of as my chaperone, if you will, they were always asking, you know, if it's okay if I were to take a picture. And generally speaking, sort of I had a conduit.
Right.
And not everybody was interested in me.
Are they young folks? Are they older folks? I mean, nudity seems like one of those things that would sort of go in and out of style. Are nudist colonies in or out these days?
You know, it's got a little bit of a resort community vibe, a little bit older. There's a lot of people who live there on a year-round basis.
Right.
Lots of really cultivated kind of trailer homes and cabins, and it's actually at this particular place, it's an amazing, like, I want to say like 25-acre spread or something.
Right.
And a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure it ramps up during the season, but all year round, there's people.
Any idea why people do it? I mean, do you talk to them much?
Yeah, a little bit. Why did they do it? I don't know. I think it's perceived as natural. I mean, I don't perceive it as unnatural. I don't mean to distinguish it as being an alternative place at all. I don't think they would even see it that way.
Yeah.
But for me, it is.
It's just more comfortable.
It's not what I know, I guess I'm kind of curious. I'm interested in what they think and what makes them tick.
So, I mean, most of the work you're doing, well, you're doing a lot of different kind of work. We talked a little bit about fine arts, commercial arts. What kind of commercial art are you doing? You still doing it?
I am. I am currently doing a commercial job working with designers in town, and basically the photography I get tapped to do most often commercially is portraiture. Sometimes that's going to be commercial, editorial, magazine work. In this case, it's actually for a nonprofit, and it's for a capital campaign, and so they're putting together some.
Okay.
You know, it's. I actually like to think of it as strong work, but you know, it's a vehicle for, you know,
is it studio work?
A message.
Is that mostly studio work?
No, this one's not. I don't mind doing a studio. I don't have a studio at present. I haven't in about a year. But when I did have a studio, I didn't use it as much as I would have liked.
Right.
Now that I don't have it, I miss it. But at the same time, when I have it, I like still want to be outside, and I like daylight. And
do you shoot almost primarily in black and white, or do you use color when you're doing commercial work?
I do probably 75-80%. I'm doing more and more digital these days.
Why is that? What about black and white attracts you?
Right now, it's the only thing I can print myself. I can print. I can digitize color negs, and I can print them out on my desktop.
Right.
I actually know how to do that well enough for it to be, I guess, an art object. But it's not as cool sitting around in my, you know, underwear or working at the office with a cup of coffee. I don't know. I like the dark room, and at the moment, I can't print color in the dark room.
Right.
So I'm leaning really hard towards black and white.
Yeah.
So.
But what about digital? Has that changed how you approach photography?
It has. I'm a slow adapter to it. I have a couple of digital cameras. One's a couple years old and already sort of a derelict, you know, obsolete object.
Yeah, they go pretty quick.
It's pretty good still, but it's no longer the thing. I am pretty adept, I guess, with digital means for promotion. You know, I can scan my work. I can promote myself. I'm definitely a slave to the computer in a certain respect.
Do you use it at all to manipulate your images?
Not so much. No. I've just in the past year, I've put up a couple of images that are heavily post-produced or heavily manipulated. I've got a piece up at the Mariners Museum, and which is a wholly fabricated photograph. It's got a couple of negatives that were the source for it, and then I've actually sort of painted digitally on it. So that was a departure. Generally speaking, I'm still kind of old school, I guess.
How was that for you? That seems like a really big shift.
It was nice in that I was able to do something that I visualized and I no way I could have done.
Yes.
Okay. You know, or maybe I don't have the chops to have done it in a traditional dark room. There's people who have accomplished that, but I don't know. Yeah. Digital is far easier for certain things.
Yeah.
And I have a great respect for it. It's just that I'm, like I said, just kind of a slow to kind of embrace it, I guess.
Is there any way you can sort of talk about your work? I mean, I noticed that a lot of your work is, we're starting to talk a little bit about, you know, sort of outsider kinds of imagery. And I noticed some of that. But I also noticed that and maybe it was just the images I saw, they seem to be cropped in ways that made them visually more interesting. I mean, is that something that you're aware of, that you're consciously doing? I mean, when you're taking pictures, you know, like there was a picture of a girl dancing, I think, down at Tobacco Company or something, and you know, it's sort of top of the guy's head is sort of cropped off, but there was another photograph, the guy's entire head was cropped. Or there was a picture of people roller skating, and you know it was just their feet. It seems like you're interested in trying to create more with less. I don't know. Is that
part of it? I think is vision. Part of it may be equipment. Part of it might be operator error. you know, I mean, because I'm certainly got you know the wholly visualized scene probably on the next frame.
Right.
And then it's editing sometimes. I had this discussion in my class today. It's like I've assigned something. It's more or less a concept. And then a lot of times instinct, and for me it's the same, a lot of times instinct is to put it all there, like have it readily available and the idea is understandable as soon as you look at something. It's like a graphic chestnut. Mm-hmm. And then there's the one where it's turned and it's lit and it's somewhat obscured. And so you have to, it takes longer to peel it apart and there's a little bit of mystery to it. And, I think I probably edit towards those.
Yeah. There seems to be mystery. Would you say mystery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There seems to be sort of you can tell, and a lot of them, you can tell immediately what they are. But
right.
It's kind of like, I wonder why you did it this way.
Yeah.
You know, why you cropped it this way. So what's some of your, do you have favorites? Do you have ones that you feel have really, really achieved what you wanted to achieve?
I guess generally I've got a couple of sort of personalities, and one of them is a bit of a tourist, a little bit where I'm kind of living maybe vicariously through some different people, different mindsets. And then the thing that probably turns me on the most would be it's a little more indulgent, but it's my life. It's diaristic work. It's my loved ones. And
oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I basically,
you mean like
I love my family
and
my friends, and when I'm a happier individual, I'm actually more prolific.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I'm down, I'm probably like, you know, writing more so maybe than I am actually like conjuring up good day trips for myself and my
son. Do you write a lot?
Some. Sort of an unrequited writer.
Yeah.
Or undedicated, I'll say.
Yeah,
you know, writer. Like I'll do a little bender every now and again.
You're not publishing, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, online.
How about your work? Have you ever published books or published anything like that?
I have, and I've actually kind of got the midlife crisis going on where I'm putting together a couple of book dummies now.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is. I'm a little bit, I have to admit, eclectic. I'm sort of a shooter. I will look at almost anybody with the same kind of interest. And I have a hard time, I guess, narrowing my vision. I get project envy when I'm meeting a photographer, say, and he or she's doing the project that's about the, you know, the left-handed
gynecologists, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, who are got Tourette's, and I don't know. Like, there's people who explore very like niche
subjects. That's one I'd
want
to do, the left-handed gynecologist with Tourette's. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, but it's, or the plight of the small farmers, or you know, maybe it's
or
more
the plight of the small left-handed farmer.
There you go. Yeah. Or the your child labor, you know, and, noble causes sometimes, or maybe they have their own self-indulgent.
Any social causes you've ever
causes.
Gotten involved with?
I'd have to say yes, but not necessarily photographically. Mm-hmm. I tend to go out, and I mean, I will cover, you know, I've covered lots of things that I don't actually necessarily support. Mm-hmm. I think just by showing them sometimes, I feel like for me, I have a critical response to certain individuals, and my looking at them and then sharing that somehow in a different context, a gallery context or an editorial
like
context.
Like what,
I don't know, a homophobe or a fundamentalist Christian protesting this, that, or the other. I mean, to me, that's something that's just going on.
Right.
It's a document, and I think a valid one.
Yeah.
And my critique feels like it's in there, generally speaking. I might choose the, you know, untoward expression, or the flag might be backwards, or there might be some subtle mm-hmm clue to mm-hmm what I think is
where
backwards.
From. Right.
But at the same time, I'm giving them attention, too, so I guess my hands aren't purely clean.
How has your photography helped you live your life, do you think?
It is, I think it helps a lot with the ideas that I am drawn to. I think it helps me sort of, I guess, mature my own perspective somewhat. It helps me hang on to things that I care about. You know, I've got a very nostalgic, nerdy dad side of me. You know, uh-huh, I want to watch my, uh-huh, my son grow up and
yeah,
my dogs get old and, you know, those things that everyone does. I think I'm particularly susceptible to that. It helps me, I guess, navigate some situations where I actually just assume not be. You know, every once in a while there's a situation where I'd rather, you know, I'd rather photograph than interact socially.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know,
I can
kind of hide,
you
I guess.
Kind of hide out.
You know.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as a journey for you, has there been a journey for you in this, in any sense that has, where you've either learned more about yourself or learned more about life or the world around you, or is that, am I getting a little too
weighty
pseudo philosophy?
I'm
just a regular guy who takes pictures, man.
I do think a lot, but at the same time I don't think that I'm on a journey necessarily, but I do feel like it's it definitely has cured me a little bit. I've got a more of a visual mindset now. I basically see in memories, and I see very photographically. I mean, it's changed my aesthetic, I suppose, somewhat. Yeah. And I'm quicker to respond to things. I feel intuitive, I guess.
What do you mean cured?
Cured, like not cured like I'm, you know, a remedy, but cured more like
cured
smoked.
Like smoked. Yeah, well, you kind of give off that feeling, actually.
I mean,
it's interesting. I would have never chosen that word, but there is something cured about you. I, you know, like sort of, you're sort of mellowing as you get older somehow.
That
sort
could
of
be.
Yeah. Well, what do you have planned for the future? Anything coming up?
I do. I'm actually sort of in a manic place. I'm trying to get together. I have a show coming up in Zurich in May and June, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what that's going to be. It's, you know, I make a lot of work, but at the same time, I don't too often slow down to kind of constitute it or edit it into a digestible take.
Format.
And in this case, there's already a theme attached to this show.
Oh, really? What's
yeah,
the theme?
It's called Signal to Noise.
Well, that narrows it right down, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's sort of blissfully open.
Really?
I mean, it's in Zurich, and apparently this, I think, is more of an experimental and probably a younger gallery.
So how did you end up in Zurich?
I had a show. Well, actually, I had a very small piece of a show in the Netherlands in the fall. And this guy, and that had a very religious kind of component to it. The show was called Acts of Faith. It's called Norda Fest, and it's a photo festival. And this guy, I think, tuned in to me there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, and then last year in Richmond at 1708, I showed a body of work that I then called Naked Pilgrim. And that, too, lately I've been looking at religion a lot. And religion as, you know, as entertainment, religion as signage, you know, just mm-hmm. kind of cultural, mm-hmm. you know, plastic culture plus religion.
Right.
You know, and not really pure cynicism. I mean, there's a lot of sweetness to it, too. But, you know, it really is our society is pretty much rife with people and their ideas of spirituality.
So it sounds like a lot of participation.
With that, that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Then you go to the other side, the sort of personal side, which I feel like is an equal, uh-huh. at least in my priority. I feel mm-hmm. like it might be less accessible or more indulgent, but I participate in my life pretty fully, and I love my loved ones, so... That stuff to me does seem to be less the observer and more of a player.
Well, guess what we're out of. And there were other things I wanted to ask you about. You've done tear sheets for albums. You've shot photographs of musicians that I think are interesting. What about a website? Have you got one?
Yes, I do. It's icarumba.com.
Okay, you got to spell that one.
EYECARAMBA.com.
Okay. Icarumba.com. So what do you say to someone who's thinking about being a photographer these days? Any advice? Wise old mellowed sage?
Oof. I would say it's a tough racket, but at the same time, it's a purely democratic undertaking. You know, everybody can do it. I get very Jiminy Cricket when I teach because... I do think that photography, unlike some other arts, is kind of available. Yeah. Anyone can kind of up and conjure mm-hmm. up something really sort of striking and, mm-hmm. and evocative mm-hmm. just with an afternoon out an afternoon in with somebody. You know,
yeah.
who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking to Gordon Stettinius, who is a photographer, among other things, and also teaches at VCU. Has a real interest in looking at, I guess you could say, you know, some of the sort of extraordinary things of life that are sort of sometimes on the edge. I want to thank you folks for listening. We hope to see you again for lunch on the radio next Friday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowring, and once again you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM. It's Richmond's Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us.